Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Transportation Finance and Policy Division for this Tuesday, January 22nd. I'm Frank Hornstein, Chair of the Committee. We have one item on the agenda today in terms of bills, and that's House File 50, which we'll just take up in a few minutes. I did want to call on Representative Petersburg at this time to make a motion for our approval of our last meeting's minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, that's the second item on the agenda is approval of minutes. And I do move the approval of the January 17th minutes as presented.
Discussion? All in favor of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The motion prevails. So, members, we will have a lot of testimony today. We have a list of those who have called in advance, and our vice chair will be chairing the meeting since I'm the author of the bill. And if you're not on the list, please indicate to Mr. Howe if you would like to testify, and we will ask that everyone please be succinct in their remarks, and we'll definitely get this vote in today and end on time. So with that, members, I will move over to the testifier table, and our able vice chair, Representative Tabke, will be taking it from here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. The bill we have before us today for consideration is House File 50. This bill was referred to this division by the Ways and Means Committee. I'll make the motion that House File 50 come before the committee and be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Chair Hornstein is the author of this bill, and he indicated that he has people who would like to testify on it today. Chair Hornstein, would you like to tell us about your bill, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I do have a DE amendment, the DE-1. And that is the that will be the bill that I would like the committee to consider. So I would move adoption of that, and I can certainly explain to members why we're doing this. Following House File 50's introduction, it was brought to our attention that there are several items that need to be clarified in the legislation. So the DE amendment adds several additional functions, such as watching streaming videos that are prohibited while driving, and provides clear language exempting devices that are mounted or primarily affixed to the car. So you'll see this commonly in GPS systems that are built into the vehicle. It also clarifies that we're allowing for one touch but not multiple repeated touches of a device. So that is the DE amendment, and we'll get the bill in the shape that I'd like the committee to consider it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Does everyone have a copy of this amendment? Are there any questions or discussion on the amendment? All right. Hearing none, those in favor of incorporating Chair Hornstein's amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. And the amendment is adopted. There's also another amendment.
Do
you want to go to that one yet?
We'll consider that, I think, after. That's Representative Torkelson's. We'll consider that after the testimony, correct? I think that would be the proper procedure.
Yes.
Members, this bill before us, House File 50, is an effort to reverse what has become an epidemic of distracted driving on Minnesota highways. It's legislation that will prevent deaths and injuries on Minnesota roads. And in recent years, members, there have been an average of 59 deaths and 223 serious injuries in our state due to distracted driving. And it is the fastest cause of fatal crashes. We know bills like this work. They have in other states where crash rates have dropped significantly. So in short, this bill saves lives, and I ask for your support. I'm happy to answer any committee questions at this time, and as was mentioned previously, we have a number of testifiers in favor and I believe even opposed to the bill. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and then otherwise we can get to the testimony.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Are there any questions for Representative Hornstein at this time? All right, seeing none, we have a series of testifiers here today, and the first one that we have on the list is...
Mr. Chair, sorry.
Representative Bennett,
I wanted to note that this has been a bipartisan effort both in the House and the Senate. And one of the members of the House Republican Caucus did wish to say a couple of words in support of this bill. She is one of the authors and has a personal story about some folks in her district that are impacted. So I'd like to call on Representative Bennett at this point.
Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Peggy Bennett, District 27A, and thank you to Representative Hornstein for authoring this bill. I'd just like to say a few comments about this because I really think it's time. It's time for us to catch up with technology. When in the past, a number of years ago, when you'd occasionally see somebody weaving on the road, you know that it was somebody who was impaired from drinking and driving, typically. Now we see the weaving on the road all the time, and it's somebody who's got their eyes down on their phone. This has impacted some people in my district dramatically. I'd like to show you a picture here of a lady named Rachel Harberts and her two kids, Emerson, age 8, and Jackson, age 12. And I can really connect with Rachel because she was a first grade teacher in Blooming Prairie, and I was a first grade teacher for many years. And I remember the excitement of the beginning of the school year. And back in September, at the beginning of this school year, Rachel and her two kids were on her way to Blooming Prairie when they were tragically rear-ended by a gentleman who was actually checking a banking app on his phone and going 60 miles an hour and didn't even put the brakes on because he didn't see them. Rachel, the mom, was killed, and Emerson, the little girl, was killed. Jackson was very severely injured and is still recuperating from his injuries months into this. I also have a friend and former colleague in Albert Lee, a teaching colleague, who lost her father to somebody who was texting and driving. Her father, I believe, was from Prior Lake, the bus driver, well-loved. He was checking his mail one morning on a county highway, and a woman was texting and driving and hit him along the side of the road and killed him. So I don't think there's any Minnesotan who has not been impacted either in their home or in their hearts by this. And I just simply think this is the right thing to do. And again, we need to catch up. Technology has changed so much. Our phones years ago, when we first got phones, you younger people don't even remember this, but when we first got phones, they didn't have the capability of going on the internet or texting, and I was just calling. Now it's so much more, and we need to do something. So I really appreciate being part of this bill. I'm sure there's areas that need to be tweaked. We need to get this right. I just want to add that I'm not normally one who wants to add regulations or laws. I don't like that. I think we need to get rid of some. But in this case, this is something we need to do, and it's the right thing to do. So thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Now, would you like to go to testifiers?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I understand we have Mel Simon, who is the chairman of the Minnesota Truckers Association, who is up first. Thank you, Mr. Simon. Please state your name and the organization you're with.
Mel Simon, Minnesota Trucking Association. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The MTA, Minnesota Trucking Association, is a statewide safety organization representing 650 trucking companies and their affiliated vendors. We are one of 20 statewide business organizations, from truckers to grocers to the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, that have adopted policies supporting hands-free cell phone legislation. You have a complete list in front of you. The business community is united in the belief that it is time to pass hands-free cell phone legislation in Minnesota. Every day, Minnesota businesses are putting their employees and contractors on roadways filled with distracted drivers, and the results are alarming. The insurance industry reports that the only category of work-related injuries increasing today is motor vehicle accidents. Insurance data also shows that in business and personal auto premiums are going up. The common factor, distracted driving and cell phone use. I'm also co-owner of Steyr Transportation, a 60-truck company hauling manufactured goods across 48 states. My drivers already operate in a one-touch, hands-free mode, which is required under federal trucking regulations. This has not impacted our ability to serve our customers. But what my professional drivers see every day is quite alarming. Rather than focusing on the driving task, we see people looking at their devices, even watching videos. Professional truck drivers say, put down the phone and focus on the road. The business community looks forward to passing this legislation in 2019 and reducing distracted driving for our employees and all Minnesota motorists.
Thank you very much. The next testifier we have today is Bob Johnson, the president of Insurance Federation of Minnesota. Mr. Johnson, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Bob Johnson, Insurance Federation of Minnesota, and I'm very pleased to be here today next to Representative Hornstein and to support House File 50. My members write a majority of auto insurance sold in the state that you all buy and your constituents buy and everybody in this room buys. And for us, insurance is a data-driven industry. Data, the measurement of risk, what's going on in society, and particularly in cars. And so for us, the data is very clear. It's very clear about distracted driving. And there's a lot I could bring, but with the witnesses, I'm just going to be very brief, and I'm happy to follow up, Mr. Chairman, with you or anybody on the committee if you want to sit down. I can bring in a lot more. But just, you know, the data that you've seen of the 1 in 4 crashes, the 1 in 5 fatalities in Minnesota, distracted driving. One of my big members, Federated Insurance, down in Owatonna, Representative Petersburg represents. Federated has been, and as many auto insurers have, they've reported that 50% of all their 2017 auto claims, and they're a large commercial insurer, they write personal auto, but they insure thousands of Minnesota businesses, 50% of all auto claims involve distracted driving. It's just an enormous number. So there's a lot more that we could that I could say, last couple of things, because really this translates, at least for me, and you'll hear a lot of the testimony, of course, about the personal impact, but I can talk about the economics of this. And Mr. Simon, the previous witness, had just said, and I can bring in the studies later to show you that the one category of on-the-job injuries, every category is flat or trending down, except for car driving on the job, auto-related accidents, and that's trending up. And we firmly believe the reason it's trending up is because of the cell phone use, distracted driving. And we call them crashes, not accidents, because there's nothing accidental about driving a car and holding a device and then plowing into somebody. That's not an accident. It's preventable. It's a crash. And we should do something about it. So everybody's paying for it. You're paying for it in your auto premiums. Consumer auto premiums in Minnesota in the last 3 years is up 15%. And, you know, and this is in an era where we have this high-tech anti-collision devices on so many cars. But we think that the distracted driving is literally kind of swamping kind of the predicted beneficial effects of these high-tech safety devices on cars. And so for us, Mr. Chairman and committee members, there'll be more testimony about some, is this working in the states? 110 million Americans are living in states that have this law, 110 million, and it'll continue to grow. But two last ones I want to cite. Over 2014 to 2018, this is from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, there's been a 57% increase in the manipulating a cell phone when driving. So there's other things you can do, but talking is one, a 57% increase. And for the risk of a fatal car crash, it's 66% higher. 66% higher if you're driving and manipulating a cell phone. So, Mr. Chairman and committee members, for those reasons, we just are very pleased to support this, urge your support for this and moving forward and having Minnesota join the states that have enacted this law and to get this done in 2019. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Representative Rumbick has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good to see you, Mr. Johnson. We keep hearing a lot about the large grouping called distracted driving, and I'm just wondering the data, and is it reliable, and what do we know about the variety of kinds of distracted driving and the percentages, you know, how well have we been able to nail it as a phone thing? And I guess my other question is, I've heard from just in the last month from an insurance agent that our rapidly increasing car insurance rates are because of uninsured motorists. So maybe you could address those things.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Representative Rumbeck, I can bring in to you, I don't have it with me today, but I'm happy to bring in some of these statistical studies, the data from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. There is a considerable amount of data that from the perspective of auto insurers, as I said, the data is clear and it supports the fact that distracted driving, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is coming out in this next week or so with some national surveys about consumers and what are the types of distractions, but this device and holding it and using it is the primary one. I think the notion that, you know, eating food in a car or reading a newspaper, are there other distractions? Yes, they are. This is the one that's the primary distraction, and I'm happy to follow up with some of the data that we have. So we're comfortable testifying today and answering that it's solid data, and it's continuing to develop. And as the states that have acted on this, and we're getting data, Georgia was the last state that passed it, and they had done a very comprehensive state study at their legislature that if you want to read another state's legislative study, it really would suggest that read the Georgia legislative study. A committee there did a pretty intensive research and compiled really all of the data that they could find. And it's a useful study, but they also document what's happened in the states. And that data is going to continue to develop, that we'll see the impact. There is a beneficial impact early on, and it's quantifiable of if a state passes this, what is happening with their state statistics. So some others that are coming up may comment on that, but we can follow up and show you that too.
Mr. Chair, that would be very beneficial. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, thank you for being with us today. You've mentioned other states. I don't know if you're going to be the one that's going to kind of address some of those details about what other states have done and what pitfalls we might avoid by comparing what other states have done up to this point. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I think, Mr. John. Chairman, I think that's going to be covered. I mean, we haven't kind of finally defined it, but if it's not, I'm happy to come back up as we kind of work through this and talk a little bit more. But we can absolutely kind of talk about, but at its core, Representative Hornstein's bill as he's presenting it, this is kind of the essence of what states, there's some definitional changes, because I think all of us, as we're working on some of the technology issues in a vehicle, that we want to make sure that we're covering the range of the possible technology options. So I can't tell you that all the states are identical in those definitional, but I think at its core, they're very similar.
Quick follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I stepped in just a moment late. I assume we're speaking to the DE and as opposed to the original House file.
Yeah, correct. Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
The DE amendment has passed, and so yeah, you're correct. Any other questions for Mr. Johnson? Thank you very much, sir. Now we have Colonel Matt Langer of the Minnesota State Patrol and Paul Austin of the Minnesota Safety Council. Thank you very much. Again, if you could say your name and association for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Matt Langer. I have the privilege and honor of serving as the chief of the Minnesota State Patrol. I've been before this committee and other committees the last couple of years testifying, and my message hasn't changed. The issue of distracted driving on our roads is a very significant one for our organization and other law enforcement agencies and all of us as Minnesotans. It's a leading cause of injury and death and property damage crashes on our roads, as other people have indicated, and I'm sure others will articulate, both through data or personal stories. I'll be brief. I know there's several people that will testify behind me. We support this legislation from the State Patrol because we believe it's a necessary behavioral shift for Minnesotans to start concentrating more on driving and getting the cell phone out of their hand. And this law would help us both from an educational standpoint and an enforcement standpoint, because this concept would allow troopers to enforce the texting while driving ban that's already on the books much more efficiently and with much less conversation roadside between drivers about what is legal, what's not legal. I was texting, I was looking for a phone number, I was looking for an address, or all of the other things that come into play. Just for context, for this committee's help through the courts, there were 9,545 citations issued last year in 2018, just to give some of the data supporting why this behavioral change is necessary. That's gone up for 9 straight years and was a 30% increase over 2017. So certainly this is a huge challenge for all of us that drive, and particularly those troopers that are enforcing that law on a daily basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Colonel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Austin. I'm the president of the Minnesota Safety Council. We were formed in 1928 to initially work on traffic safety as the state highway system was built out, and we are happy to be here supporting this bill today. I'd just like to provide a little context of this bill against traffic safety more broadly, and then a little bit of detail on some of the information from other states. There are 5 major causes for crashes and fatalities on the roads: speed, impairment, fatigue, distraction, and then everything else. My point being that we're talking about working on distraction at this point. So will this bill solve all the fatalities and crashes on the road? Absolutely not. It's just one piece out of the big 4. And even within distraction, there are many forms of distraction, as Representative Runbeck referred to. There's people who eat and shave and cook and do all kinds of things in their vehicles while they're driving. This will not directly address any of those. And even going hands-free is not distraction-free. If you're interacting with a phone, or you're interacting with your radio, or you're interacting with a passenger, you can be cognitively distracted. So with all those caveats in place, I still have an enormous but: this is worth it. In 2012, when the commercial motor vehicle carriers were under rulemaking for regulation to go hands-free and one touch in their system, the Federal Motor Carrier Administration cited a stat that going hands-free is 6 times safer than being hands-on. So just moving the phone out of your hands does make a difference. There have been 16 states and the District of Columbia that have adopted this over the last few years, some of them as long ago as 2001. That would have been New York. And in 13 of those 16 states, they've seen large decreases in fatalities, approaching 20%, some places much higher than that. The average is about 16% across those states in the first 2 years. Georgia adopted this law, implemented on July 1st, and they've seen a 7% increase in the last 6 months of 2018. So is hands-free an absolute fix for all fatalities? No, but it's clearly a factor that comes into play, and you can see data that shows that the roads do get safer when hands-free is in place. That's why these 17 other governmental organizations have moved that way over time, because they've seen that hands-free is a nice step forward. If you take a look at the number of fatalities we have in this state, and if we can get a 16% decrease in the year that follows implementing hands-free, that'll be about 55 people whose deaths would have been prevented. We think that's a great step forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this question is for Colonel Langer. First of all, I want a definition of something, then I have a follow-up question on that. In statute, in 169, our motor vehicle operation laws, what is the difference between distracted driving and inattentive driving, according to state statute?
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Driscoll, it's a good question. So Minnesota law requires every driver to drive with reasonable and due care, and to drive at a speed that's consistent and safe for the conditions. So we don't have a law that is titled distracted driving, but we have a requirement to drive with due care. So what we frequently call inattentive driving is a citation under the statute 169.14 that requires everyone to drive with due care and, like I said, at a speed that's reasonable given and safe given the conditions.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that, Colonel Langer, is that worthy of citation and fine under 169?
Mr. Chair, Representative Driscoll, it can. It's language that's used sometimes for those situations that aren't always covered under the law but can be very dangerous. So the situations where someone's clearly not paying attention and they're, what Paul said, putting on makeup or looking at a book or reading a book on the steering wheel or all kinds of things that I'm sure you've seen and we've seen on a daily basis on our roads, that law helps us to take enforcement action and change behavior because it's not ultra specific on one thing, but it's anything you're doing that takes away your attention from driving and is of the trooper's belief that you're not operating with reasonable and due care.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Colonel Langer, the reason I raised that issue is about 25 years ago, I was involved in an accident where, much to my surprise, I was subpoenaed because the other driver was charged with inattentive driving, and it turned out that in probably a 3-month period of time, she had been involved in 4 motor vehicle-related incidences. And when I showed up into court, much to her surprise, oh, you were such a nice guy at the scene of the accident. I didn't have the heart to tell her that they were going to ask me to testify against her in a proceeding on that. So I thank you for helping with that clarification. Now, I guess the other question is, if we're assuming that it has data that says use of cell phone operation is the number one, do you have anything number two and number three, or is there something else that we should be looking at and taking into consideration when looking at this particular bill this afternoon?
Colonel Langer.
Mr. Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, I don't know if are you talking specifically about other distractions beyond the cell phone?
Mr. Chair, Colonel Langer, we've talked about putting makeup on, cooking, all these different kinds of things. What's maybe number two, number three that we should be thinking about as a legislature, or is it, boy, 50% is here and it drops off to 10 and 5 and 3%. What are we looking at?
Colonel Langer.
Mr. Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, it's a great question. I think if we were to wave a magic wand and remove cell phones, iPads, laptops, electronics, handheld devices from vehicles, I feel like we've solved the vast majority of things that are likely to distract people. At the same time, I've read research studies and have been told by people at the Center for Transportation Studies the actual number one cause of distraction is being lost in thought. It's just not paying attention. And I think that makes a lot of sense, although it would be really difficult to observe and even more difficult to enforce. But it's a point worthy of discussion because anything that takes your attention away from driving is a distraction. And the sky's the limit with what could potentially bring your attention away from driving.
Thank you. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Hornstein, thank you for bringing this forward. It's a little early in the session to start wrapping our ideas around it, but I think it's something that needs to be discussed, obviously. Just had a couple questions for maybe the Colonel and the difference between the bill that you submitted and the DE amendment. We had originally it said accept to activate or deactivate a feature or function in the previous version, and now on the DE line 2.4, except for one-touch activation or deactivation. Maybe if Chair Hornstein, if you could talk about the differences between that, and then maybe a follow-up for the Colonel on how is law enforcement actually going to differentiate whether you push 3 buttons to get your GPS going or 1, and so I think I have a little bit of concern at the one-touch terminology that you have on here, because I think it's important to recognize that there are drivers that intend to be safe and careful, but it may take, you know, two pushes, 3 pushes. It's certainly not texting, you know, a whole paragraph or something. So if you could discuss that and kind of clarify for me, I'd appreciate it.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Kosnick. Yes, we felt that was a loophole in a sense, and that if you don't have limits on the number of touches, then, you know, you could really be, it would increase distraction rather than do what we're trying to do, which is to reduce it. And so I can actually defer perhaps either to Colonel Langer or Mr. Austin about why this one touch is so important.
Mr. Austin.
Mr. Chair, Paul Austin, Minnesota Safety Council. There's two reasons to add one touch to this language. One is to bring it into conformance with the commercial motor carrier's requirements. They currently are required under federal rule to use one-touch activation, and so there's precedent for using that language and determining what that means. Secondly, as it was in the initial draft, it could have been a 12-touch activation, and I don't think anybody's interested in that. There is a degree of enforcement discretion that takes place with any of these laws. The colonel can speak to that. It's similar to asking the colonel if he can stop every speeder. The answer is no. You've got to operate with the ones that are clearly causing an issue potentially for the flow of traffic. So there is a point of discretion within that one touch, but that does follow the current federal rules.
Colonel Langer, do you have anything to add to that?
Mr. Chair, not unless there's another question.
Representative Cousin.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. I am curious, Colonel Langer, how is law enforcement going to know and enforce if there's an accident? You know, what kind of personal data privacy are going to start getting into looking at people's phones, how many pushes and touches and that they've done? And so I understand the change for the language, I really do, and I guess I didn't see it as much of a loophole as kind of understanding the reality of how some of this technology is used. So I am curious a little bit on how we're going to enforce this and protect people's privacy on their cellular devices to look at, you know, did they initiate the call, actually dialing the number or hands-free and what other numbers they've been dialing and that kind of thing. Clarify for us how you're going to be able to determine and enforce this new terminology of one touch versus, maybe more minimal.
Representative Langer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Koznick, it's a great question. I think there are multiple parts of your question. I'll focus on this bill as I read it. The intent, of course, is for prevention. So our goal would be to, you know, not have the crashes that deal with the forensics of involved with downloading cell phone information. On the preventative side, it would be troopers and officers, deputies, law enforcement observing what's going on while people are driving. And when I talk to troopers and what I observe myself is it's pretty easy to recognize those people that are using their cell phone to text or to do something other than drive. It's also easy if you're sitting parked next to someone and watch if they are truly using it in one-touch mode. That's a pretty deliberate one-touch to get to that phone call or the voice-activated text or whatever they're doing. So it would be an observable thing that the troopers would have to articulate that I observed the driver touch the phone however many times or it sat through the green light while they were scrolling through the phone. I think that the one touch is deliberate and it will certainly help troopers to observe the violation and only take action on cases where they believe there is a violation. The more clear the better for us when it comes to enforcement as an organization, and as the troopers will tell me, they have no interest in debating a law roadside. Clarity is a good thing, and I appreciate the work on this committee and others to make it clear. In terms of what's available after the fact, so if there is a crash and we're then trying to determine if it was, is it in one touch? Were they using their phone or their finger to dial 10 digits or whatever the case might be? That would really depend on the device and the extent that the device was wiped clean before we got it and any admissions on the part of the driver. But that would be the same situation that we deal with now, in getting that cell phone downloaded from a forensic perspective and then trying to determine what was being done on that phone that may or may not have contributed to the crash. But every carrier is different, every phone is different. It's really hard for me to say exactly what scenario would give us result X.
Representative Koznick.
Well, I appreciate the comments, and so it's still a little confusing, and I think it might cause some concern for the public in terms of what is allowed and isn't allowed. But I appreciate the intent of the bill still, and I think it's something that needs to be discussed so we can move on.
Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a few comments about the historical perspective of this bill. I think it goes back to at least 2010 when we first really started talking about distracted driving. And at that point, some of the organizations wanted us to get research And I think there is enough research right now, and certainly even at that point, there were some of the professional drivers and trucking associations that were already placing restrictions on their employees. And you think about, you know, that was at least 10 years ago. How many people have died because we haven't been able to pass this bill? It's time. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I found helpful was a letter in our packets from the Safety Council, the Trucking Association, and the Insurance Federation, because they reminded us that this bill is focused on prevention. And Colonel Langer, I think you made that point as well, that increasing penalties might be an important policy discussion sometime, but that should take place in another bill at another time. And that's what I hear reflected as you're describing what perhaps the bill is not prepared to do, and what even the clarity of your enforcement isn't informing us of in the same way that prevention might. So just focusing on the fact that this is a bill for prevention, and that helps us in our questions, framing our questions too.
Thank you. Colonel Langer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, I appreciate those comments. As an organization, I would much prefer that we prevent texting while driving and crashes than enforce the texting while driving law. And we do both, make no mistake about it. It's our charge under the law. But a significant part of what the State Patrol believes in is education and prevention. And I'd much rather prevent a crash than enforce our way after a crash or hold people accountable. And I think this legislation, when I say changes the behavior of Minnesotans, it's in a way that prevents crashes from occurring.
Thank you, gentlemen. The next testifier we have today is Vance Sternberg from Blue Earth Commissioner. He is Blue Earth County Commissioner and Chair of the Transportation and Infrastructure Policy Committee of the Association of Minnesota Counties. Thank you, Mr. Sternberg. Please say your name for the record and your association.
Welcome, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Vance Sternberg, and I'm a Blue Earth County Commissioner and also Chair of the Association of Minnesota Counties Transportation Infrastructure Committee. On behalf of the AMC, I would like to offer our support for House File 50. At our AMC annual conference this last December, we adopted a platform position forward jointly by our transportation and public safety committees in support of legislation that would require hands-free cell phone use while driving. As a transportation advocate, our primary concern is the safety of the traveling public. Making sure our infrastructure is safe is part of the equation, but responsible driving behavior is another aspect. Here in Minnesota, we are fortunate to have leadership from the Minnesota Department of Transportation and the Department of Public Safety through the Towards Zero Deaths program. But despite TZD's best efforts, traffic fatalities increased in 2018 over 2017, with 380 Minnesotans killed in traffic crashes and thousands injured. In fact, over the last 5 years in our state, distracted or inattentive driving was a contributing factor in one of five crashes. Now I've heard one in four, resulting in an average of 53 deaths, 216 injuries each year. As a retired law enforcement officer, I understand the need to have law that provides the tools necessary for officers to do their job. Without this law, officers lack probable cause to stop a vehicle when they see a person using a cell phone. While they may be texting or on the internet, which is against the law, they also may be looking up a phone number, which is legal at this time, but just as dangerous. On behalf of the AMC, I want to thank Chair Hornstein for his work on this important effort. And we are pleased to see this bipartisan bill this session and are hopeful for a successful package. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I stand for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Sternberg. Any questions? Thank you very much. Our next testifier we have today is Sherry Munyon on her designated representative representing the group Citizens for Safe Work Zones. Ms. Munyon, please state your name and association for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Sherry Munyon, and I'm representing the Citizens for Safe Work Zones, as you heard. This is a coalition that includes families who have lost their loved ones in a work zone due to a car crash, as well as the unions and employers who want to see their workers go home. In recent years, we saw three deaths, Vern Hedquist, Craig Carlson, Ron Murkowski, all killed while working to improve Minnesota roadways, as well as a severely injured flagger, Maria Soto, who was not able to go back to work. Citizens for Safe Work Zone strongly supports House File 50 and thinks it's long overdue. We also think more needs to be done to increase safety on the roads of all of our construction workers who risk their lives daily to ensure safe transportation systems. In addition to supporting the hands-free bill, we look forward to future opportunities to discuss speed limit enforcement in work zones and also the move over law to protect individuals who are off the side of the road in their construction vehicles and utility vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Money. Any questions? All right, thank you. Our next testifier is Dr. Carl Berkland of the Minnesota Medical Association. And after Mr. Berkland is Dorian Grilly. Dr. Berkland, please state your name and association for the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Carl E. Berkland, a retired family physician who's practiced medicine for 40 years in the wonderful rural city of New Prague, Minnesota, population 7,813. Mr. Chair and members of the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee, I appreciate having the opportunity to testify before you today in support of a public safety bill that bans the use of handheld cell phones while driving. In rural New Prague, an innocent, beloved family member was directly affected by a distracted driver's reckless, self-absorbed, dangerous behavioral choice, a choice delivering a lethal force in a moment and changing a family forever. Joseph Tilkowski, a 79-year-old man, in October 28, 2015, was killed by a driver with her eyes on her phone instead of the road. He was dressed in a neon yellow jacket as he crossed the two-lane country road in front of his home to get his morning newspaper from the mailbox by the roadside. He was a longtime New Prague School District bus driver for nearly 50 years who could have been retired, but he enjoyed looking out for generations of school kids, and the feeling was mutual. The primary factor in the crash was that the driver was distracted and not paying attention to the roadway ahead of her due to cell phone use. There was no indication that she tried to brake before striking Mr. Tilkowski. Our medical clinic has taken care of the medical needs of the Tilkowski family for years. I'm here trying to strengthen support for the adoption of this policy banning the use of handheld cell phones while driving so that this tragic family-altering life event, which was 100% preventable, will not happen to other now vulnerable families. In 1999, the use of cell phones by the driving public was recognized as a public health safety issue. Minnesota physicians, in advocating for additional public health policy that could save patients' lives and prevent further patient injuries, reviewed the scientific evidence-based literature, which confirmed the well-documented fact that cell phone use while driving was definitely a substantial, significant distraction that posed an immediate, clear, and present danger to the public safety. In 2000, the Minnesota Medical Association first adopted policy regarding the potential dangers associated with driver inattention and mobile phone use. In front of you, you have a formal letter from Janet Silversmith, the CEO of the MMA, who I spoke with in person and asked her to send me this letter for your perusal. endorsing the present legislative policy up for adoption. As stated in the letter, current MMA policy calls for adoption of state legislation to prohibit the use of mobile phones, handheld or otherwise, while driving a vehicle, but allowing use while parked and out of traffic. I would end with this thoughtful reflection. The hazardous, inescapable behavioral choice of using a handheld cell phone while driving brutally deprives loved ones of a long drink of a cup of life, which life they loved. Families are left with sadness gripping their souls for an innocent life stolen, and at joyless, tear-filled funerals, shaking their heads in disbelief, knowing that their precious, cheerful family member is eternally gone in their lifetime. Their only future recourse for comfort is visiting their loved one's cemetery tombstone to forever ponder what could have been. I'm open to any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Dr. Berglund. Representative Rundeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Dr. Berglund. Now, we've thought about this bill for a couple years now. I mean, there's no guarantee, right? I mean, we pass a bill, that same person, that same probably very young, probably careless, not thinking person is probably still going to be capable of doing, you know, tremendous bodily harm, right? I mean, this isn't going to stop it. So the very people that we want this bill to affect are probably the ones who are still going to drive, you know, and use the cell phone, don't you think?
Dr. Berglund.
Again, that may be true, but I think what's before this committee is this bill will prevent a validation of that type of hazardous behavior. I think validation of this behavior should not in any way come from the legislature on this particular issue of using handheld cell phones while driving. There should be an absolute no from the legislature that this is not acceptable driving behavior.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Berglund. Any further questions? Thank you, sir. Next, we have Dorian Grilly, the Executive Director of the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota. And then after Dorian Grilly, we have Greg LaValle.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dorian Grilly. I work for the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota. But today I'm offering my testimony on behalf of people who walk and bike on Minnesota's streets and roads. Needless to say, we think it's time to pass House File 50. The hands-free rule, as Colonel Langer says, is the key to enforcement. Enhanced penalties may complement this bill, but are only enforced after injury or death. And to the previous question, I truly think that young people fear the most being picked up by Colonel Langer, and that's a big influence on their behavior. The Bicycle Alliance works statewide with schools, communities, businesses, to make walking and biking safer and more convenient choices. We have staff in Bemidji and Hutchinson, as well as in the metro area. And I think you know this is not just a metro area problem or a freeway problem. Phil Ilg, his widow was not able to be here today, was killed while biking on the shoulder of a county road near New Prague by a teenager who had received a Snapchat within seconds before she hit him. Andrea Bovee was killed on a clear day while pulling her kids in a very brightly colored trailer on a straight, flat county road in far southwest Minnesota by a man who was accessing the internet on his cell phone. Leo Schneider, a bicyclist from New London, was killed on a quiet county road by a distracted driver a few years ago. His widow, Mary, told me that Leo rode to work for decades with no trouble and to many other places after he had retired, and then in an instant he was gone. Mary has asked me on behalf of her and her friends for you to pass this bill. Minnesotans took about 90 million trips by bike last year and hundreds of millions of trips on foot, and it's pretty apparent these numbers are growing. Most people would like to walk and bike more, and I get emails and phone calls about this issue on a daily basis, but many don't feel it's safe to do so in many places on our roads, and distracted drivers are certainly the biggest reason that they call or email me. And 9 years ago, I too was hit by a distracted driver while on my bicycle. I spent 3 weeks in Regents Hospital, but unlike others represented here today, I live to be here to testify in favor of House File 50. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Grilley. Any questions? Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you. And this is comment is in no way meant to distract from the work that's in front of us today. But it's, and this is just a personal statement, I believe it's not only drivers that are distracted. We have distracted activities of all sorts in public. And I think we should recognize that we do have distracted walkers, we do have distracted bicyclists, and that all of us, no matter what we're doing in a public setting, need to be aware that distractions can be dangerous. And in no way am I trying to take away from your testimony, but I just wanted to bring that point up, and I thought this might be the appropriate moment to do that.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson.
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Torkelson knows that the Bicycle Alliance spends most of our time trying to teach fifth graders how to walk and bike safely on our public rights of way. And certainly that is the number one thing in our mission.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Mr. Grilley. I appreciate that. Next up, we have Greg LaValle. And then up after that is Thomas Geltz.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Members, my name is Greg LaValle from Otsego, Minnesota. I'm not here by choice. I'm here because this beautiful young man here was killed by a distracted driver in 2013. His name is Philip LaValle. Philip was 19 years old. He was an honors student, a Division I college runner attending South Dakota State University. So he was running a lot, about 50, 60 miles per week. So he was on the road a lot. He had hopes of running in the Olympics. But he was much more than just a runner. A lot of people knew him because of that. I want to tell you a very quick story to help you know what a great person he was. I received a note recently from one of his high school competitors. And what he said is that Phil used to ask him to go for warm-ups before races and cool-downs after races. And that young man, it meant a lot to him because Philip was a very well-known runner at the time. And it was just a very classy thing for him to do, to ask that competitor from another town to do that. That young man told me that he was the only person who ever did that in his entire running career. So that's the kind of young man my son was. On August 8th, 2013, he was out on a training run, and a driver made a very bad choice. They crossed over the center line into the far shoulder, so they basically went across through opposing traffic on a flat, straight road on a very sunny, beautiful day, and hit my son from behind. No sign of hitting the brakes, no sign of steering. There were no medical issues. There were no weather issues of any kind. This was distracted driving, and classic distracted driving case. She literally drove off the road into my son, killing him. That's what's so drastic. That's why the fatality statistics are so scary. Our cars are safer. Our roads are safer. Everything is safer, but drivers are not. They're driving off the road, and instead of just injuring someone because they're doing it at full speed, they're killing someone. And this driver was 67 years old, so this is not a teen problem. This is a societal problem. I want to go off script for a second because one of the things I do is to address some of the questions about different types of distraction. One of the things I do about this problem is I go to talk to driver's education classes, and I do a one-hour presentation on distraction. Anybody who's been a teacher knows you have to learn a fair amount about the details and fundamentals of a topic before you can teach it effectively. Through my research, what I like to talk about is how simple distraction is. There's three different types. okay? There's visual distraction. It's something that takes your eyes off the road. There's manual distraction. It takes your hands off the wheel, okay? And then there's cognitive distraction, something that takes your mind off the road. When you think about texting, it involves all three types of distraction. There are very few other things that we can do while driving that involve all three types of distractions such as that. This legislation is about stopping that behavior, stopping all three forms of distraction happening at the same time. So I'm certainly not an expert, but I think that's a fairly simple description of what's going on out there today. I'd like to come back, too, to something. We hear these statistics thrown around about 1 in 5 crashes being caused by distraction. If we go back to 2007, the year the smartphone became mainstream, and we take all the traffic fatalities in Minnesota and multiply that by 20%, I believe the number we come to is 800 fatalities. 800 people have been killed due to the senseless, selfish behavior. And I label it as selfish. If you think about it, most of us go through the day, and there's only one thing we do that has the potential to kill someone, and that is drive. Talk about distraction. I have one of these smart devices on my watch that just decided to talk to me. How embarrassing. So where was I? Distraction. Driving distracted. Driving while using your phone is probably the most selfish choice we can make in a day. It's the one choice we make every day that has the potential to kill someone. And I think that's just the general message that I would like to send to you. I thank you for giving me the chance to talk in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. LaValle. Next up, we have Thomas Geltz, and then Rhonda and Alanita Maurer.
Mr. Vice Chair, representatives, my name is Thomas Geltz. I am the father of Megan Geltz. Megan was killed on February 29, 2016, in Stillwater, Minnesota. That's Leap Day. I also lost an unborn grandson. Megan was pregnant at the time of the crash. And like Mr. LaValle, the other driver drove across the road into oncoming traffic, into the ditch on the other side of the road, and came upon my daughter's vehicle stopped behind a stop sign. I mean, these types of crashes are occurring because people don't slow down at all. You know, years ago when we didn't have the phone, you know, people would slow down before they hit the pile of cars if there was a slowdown on the road. We'd slow down to 30 miles an hour, and people lived through those kind of crashes. Now, our speeds are 60, 70, 80 miles an hour, and we're crashing into vehicles, and we're not slowing down at all, and people die when that happens. My daughter and unborn grandson died. And I have a 6-year-old granddaughter now who has to grow up without a mama because of some distracted driver. I'm a safety consultant. Like Mr. LaValle, I travel around the country and speak on distracted driving. I've been doing this for 30 years. The last 3 years, I've got a renewed interest with this. I've teamed up with the National Safety Council out of Chicago. And I can tell you that, you know, you've heard a lot of statistics. In 2008, we had mass adoption of the smartphone, which changed things drastically. For 53 years, our fatality rates nationwide were going down. Up until 2009, the year after the introduction of the smartphone, those fatality rates leveled off for several years and now are going up in direct correlation with those phones. They're so powerful. They're so addicting. That's why I spend most of my time going to high schools and talking to the kids in their auditoriums about the dangers and what can happen. I know I can't change everyone's behavior, but if I can change a handful in each school, that's better than nothing. Just like this bill will help. It won't completely eliminate the problem, but it will help. And maybe if we save some people's lives, then it's all worth it in the end. It pains me to tell you that I used to drive distracted. I'm a business person as well, and I was on my phone all the time up until the crash. Now I drive and I watch people, and it is very scary to see how many of them are driving distracted all around me all the time, even coming over here this morning. It's all over the place. If you don't see it when you're driving around, you're part of the problem, because I didn't see it either when I was driving distracted, and now I do. My granddaughter knows I travel a lot. I tell her I fly over her house, and I say, I'm gonna wave to you so you can wave back. Just look for the jet with those little red tail fins. And you know what she said to me shortly after her mother died? She said, Papa, don't wave. Just when you're in the clouds, bring Mama back down for me, okay? What do you say to a three-year-old at that time? We've been working on this for a long time. I'd really appreciate if we can get this hands-free bill onto the floor and pass this legislative session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Goetz. Next, we have Rhonda Maurer and her cousin, Alanita Maurer. And next, we will have Bill Kelly after that. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Rhonda Maurer. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak today. This is not my first time here telling my family's story. This picture is Chuck and Cassie. Chuck was 54, Cassie was 10. Sitting next to me is Alanita. And on the evening of July 21st, 2015, my Uncle Chuck, cousins Cassie and Alanita, and Alanita's friend Alora were on their way home from a library. With a green light, my uncle followed traffic and entered an intersection. Before he made it to the middle of the intersection, he was struck by a Ford F-150 extended cab traveling at 65 miles an hour. The scene of the crash was chaotic, as there were 8 people in total that were injured. 2 were airlifted, 6 others taken by ambulance. I had the unfortunate experience of watching my cousin Patrick tell his sister their dad was gone. I will never forget the sound that echoed through that hospital corridor. 10 days after the crash, 4 days after we laid my Uncle Chuck to rest, we were told there was nothing that could be done for Cassie. The multiple surgeries, including removing part of her skull to release the brain pressure, did not work. She no longer had any brain activity. Remember, she was only 10. It was another loss my family should have had to endure. And pardon my language, but it was for a 3-letter word, damn, D-A-M. That is all it took. Alanita was 15. She walked away unscathed compared to the other people in the van. That was physically, emotionally, not so much. She was left to pick up pieces of her life alone without her dad and sister. Her dad was her rock, her everything. The bond between them was indescribable. Chuck had a bond with all of his kids, and it was truly amazing. Chuck wasn't there when Alanita got her driver's license. He wasn't there when she graduated from high school. He wasn't there to help her start her college life. And those are just a few things that she should have had her dad there for. There are so many more to come. Who will be standing there where he should be when she graduates from college? Who will walk her down the aisle, and who will be there to spoil her children? Alanita will suffer for the rest of her life knowing that her dad and sister should still be here today. Every day is a remembrance of the day that forever changed her path in life. The bill we are talking about today is way overdue. Something needs to be done as the numbers of crashes due to distracted driving continue to rise. We cannot allow this epidemic to continue to take the life of our loved ones. Driving is a privilege, it's not a right, and we need to take the phones out of the hands of the drivers. It is our responsibility to make our roads safe, and if attitudes and behaviors don't change, it could easily happen to anyone's family in this room today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Alanita Maurer. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. I spoke about this subject before, but it was nothing like this, and this is extremely important to me. I want to tell you my story. On July 21st, 2015, my father, my sister, myself, and a very good friend of mine, Alora, were involved in a two-car crash. 8 people were injured at that intersection that night, and 6 people got to continue living. My father passed away that night, and my sister 10 days later. Anyone who knew him knew he was a loving and caring guy who put others before himself. For example, when we were in the accident, he refused to let him be helped before Laura and Cassie. Alora had many injuries. Both of her lungs were bruised. Her meniscus and ligaments in her knee were torn. She lost 7 layers of skin on both her feet. Her right ankle was sprained and a severe concussion. She had a lot more injuries, but I only have so much time. I was fortunate to walk away with a fractured collarbone, cuts and bruises on my hips, and whiplash from the seatbelt. Cassie was never able to wake up. She had 2 emergency surgeries to keep her alive, but nothing was working. There was way too much head trauma for her little body to handle. Mind you, she was only 10 years old. All these injuries are physical. They only last for a small amount of time. The emotional damage it has caused all of my family and friends of the family will last a lifetime, and this is a loss I would never wish on my worst enemy. This is something that will never heal, and I believe it's changed the course of my life and others around me. My dad never got to see me graduate. He didn't get to help me move into my first apartment, and he didn't get to see me start college. He won't get to walk me down the aisle, and he won't meet his grandkids. Him and I had a bond that could never be broken, as he did with all of his kids. He took care of our friends like they were his own. My sister won't get to graduate high school. She won't get to start college or get to experience growing up. She won't be able to start a family. Their lives have been stolen by the carelessness of texting and driving, but their memories will last forever. My heart hurts for anyone that has gone through this, and it will hurt for anyone that may go through this. I hope my story changes something, and I hope it's a big enough impact. Something needs to be done to protect the lives around us, and the attitudes toward the value of life needs to be changed for the better. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Bill Kelly, and then we have 3 more scheduled testifiers. I'm not sure if we've had any additions to that list at this point, but just want to make everyone aware we've got about 10 more minutes of testimony left. So if we can please keep remaining comments as concise as possible, we would appreciate it so we can stay on time today.
My name is
Mr. Kelly.
Chair and members, my name is Bill Kelly. I live in Lionel Lakes. I'm a citizen advocate with the Minnesota Brain Injury Alliance. And you got this paper here about me, and my representative is sitting right over there, Linda Runbeck, and I had a car accident. I used to own a dental laboratory, and I started a bunch of dental laboratories in the state of Minnesota, and I did cosmetic stuff, and I was on my way back to the lab one day, and 1:30 in the afternoon on a Monday afternoon, distracted drunk driver. I came off the freeway on the exit ramp and I'm behind a dump truck waiting for a red light to change, and a distracted drunk driver came up behind me and hit me, 60 miles an hour. The police said he never even touched his brakes or anything. Anyway, I woke up. I thought it was the next day when I woke up, but it was a month or something like that after. My retinas got detached. I couldn't see. I was blind. I had to have my eyes bandaged for a year and not move them to hold those retinas tight. Anyway, I can see now. I can walk. Thanks. I used to go to HCMC 3 days a week all day long, and then Courage Kenny a couple other days. And anyway, here we go. Thanks. Thank goodness we live in the state of Minnesota. And I posit that right now, because we've been trying to do this for 8 or 9 years, and I'm just wondering what the heck is the holdup. Don't you guys get it? That hands-free cell phone use is going to save lives. It could be your daughters, your children, your neighbors, or whatever, or yourself. And I want to know what the holdup is. That's not on my paper. I just went off a little bit. Anyway, please support. After my accident, I was blind. I couldn't walk. I had to do all that. I lived in a foster care home for years. Now I live at home all by myself. I mean, with my dogs. I have 2 basset hounds. They're just awesome. They're my what do you call them? Companion dogs. And anyway, please, yeah, you're pointing at this drunk driver, distracted driver. Okay, all I got to say is, what the heck is the problem? We've been doing this for 8 or 9 years. Let's get with it and pass this damn thing. It's House File 50, you know that, and Senate File 91. Just do it. It's simple.
Thank you,
Mr. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
I don't care.
Next, we have Danielle Wishard Tudor, and then John Dudley, followed by Brett Collier.
Hi, thank you for listening to me. I'm going to try to go really fast because I would like the other two to have a chance to talk. That's only fair. So I'm going to speak really fast, and I warn you, I can talk like an auctioneer. But anyways, okay. Each time we get in the car, we have to make the conscious choice to be a responsible driver by not taking our eyes off the road and just driving. We've kind of talked about that today, haven't we, a lot? Every day, though, drivers partake in this game of chances. We take a chance when we look away from the road and get distracted, and we all do it. How long can we look away at something before we focus our attention back on the road? Well, we've heard the statistical research. I'll say it one more time. 1 in 4 crashes and 1 in 5 fatalities involve distracted driving. These chances we take are exacerbated by the fact that we live in a world now where we grow up being connected to our mobile devices. They are an addiction that distracts us all in all components of our lives, including while we're driving. You see it everywhere you go, everywhere you be. People constantly, when they have a low moment, they look at their phones, and they do this in the car all the time. For this reason, there has been a push around the world to ban handheld cell phones use while operating a motor vehicle. Many other countries have these restrictions. It takes less than 10 minutes to Google the fact that all of the European Union, but 5 countries, have banned phones and are handheld cell phone freeze laws. They also, almost all of Canada, 10 provinces, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, you could go on and on. There's like over 40 countries who are doing this already. We are so far behind. In the USA alone, 16 states, the District of Columbia, Guam, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, all have handheld cell phone use. This is not new revolutionary laws. Minnesota is so far behind in making our drivers safer on the roads. We all take the chance of being a distracted driver, and the consequences are the gravest. You've heard them here tonight. People's lives are sacrificed when drivers choose to become distracted. And yes, I know this personally. A driver became distracted and weaved all the way into my brother's lane. This is my beautiful brother. And without braking, collided into his vehicle at 56 miles per hour. My brother died in his own lane. Being a responsible driver looking in front of him, he braked, he veered to the right, he couldn't get away, and someone coming into him because they crossed all the way over because they were so distracted. People's lives are distracted by this. These are not accidents, okay? These are vehicular crashes that result in lives lost and families devastated forever, all because drivers forgot the most important thing you do when you get behind the wheel of a car as you just drive. Let's lessen the distractions on our roads and role model in Minnesota the emphasis of driving with no distractions, just like all the other countries around the world are implementing in 16 states in the District of Columbia. Let's get with it, Minnesota. Let's foster safer roads where we will not tolerate drivers who allow themselves to get distracted. My brother's life was worth more than someone's choice to get distracted for 30 seconds. His life was worth more than that. And a punishment of a misdemeanor, careless driving, and his punishment was his life, his entire life. Let's change the laws and save lives. This is what I want my brother's children to know, that their father did not die in vain. I'm sorry I'm so emotional, but when you wake up every day and think that person's 30-second choice took his life away, this is what it does to you. The senselessness of it is so hard to accept. So I apologize for being so emotional. Please think carefully past this. It's so important, and get with the rest of the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kais, you had a question. Do you want to take that now, or can we finish with the testimony first?
Mr. Chair, more so to the procedure, I know we're getting short on time and how much time we'll have to debate, and I have a few questions of kind of, you know, what the process for the bill is, so, but I certainly appreciate those that are here to testify and share your story, so.
Thank you, yes.
If you could give the committee some direction, I mean, are we going to.
Yeah, we have two more.
Move on this
prior.
Today, or, you
yes,
know,
we'll move on
have
this today.
Ability to talk about it a little bit? Okay.
Yes. Next, we have John Dudley.
Mr. Chairman and committee, thank you for allowing me to share with you Andrew's story today. On April 25th, 2012, Andrew was 18. He was on his 10-speed bicycle coming home from a Wednesday night youth group. And he just entered traffic to go across the lanes of traffic when a lady going east on Excelsior Boulevard turned right to go south to go to Wooddale Church to pick up her kids. She's talking on the phone. She hit him, and then she ran over him. I got the call that no parent wants to get. I was there in a very quick time, less than 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I don't know. And he was dead before we got there. And my background is in manufacturing, and in between manufacturing positions, I've had worked in retail, and I've drove school bus. One time I worked in retail, I was talking to a civil engineer who had worked on the project of 694 between 169 and 494 and the 94 interchange. And he had told me that when they finished that project, it was already obsolete. And last year when this bill didn't pass, I was just wondering, how many more people have to die before we start implementing more safety into our driving? And it's, you know, it's just, you have a free choice to make decisions, to have self-control, to do things or not to do things. This thing has become a selfish entitlement mentality. I've seen it when I've driven school bus over the years. Since 1976, I've seen an increase in population and an increase of immigrants driving like they live in their previous countries, and it's just becoming terrible on the roads. I won't drive commercially anymore because it scares me. And can I get a show of hands of how many people here have kids and grandkids?
Mr. Dudley, we're going to need to wrap
just
this up
real quick. All I'm asking you to do, there's more I could say, but just you go home, you hug your kids and your grandkids, you tell them how much you love them, because I can't do that with my Andrew anymore.
Thank you, Mr. Dudley. Our final testifier is Mr. Collier. Mr. Collier, if you could please keep this brief, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Chairman, committee members, my name is Brett Collier.
of Big Lake, Minnesota, and I work as an engineering consultant in the nuclear industry, and again, sit before you as simply a concerned citizen. I thought we settled how we were not in favor of making it illegal to simply hold a cell phone in your hand while driving last session. I provided testimony last session pointing out that of the 74 distracted driving deaths that occurred in Minnesota in 2015, only two could be attributed to talking on the phone, and we don't even know if those two drivers were holding the phone to their ears or using hands-free technology. So let me ask you, if your proposed statute had been in place in 2015, how many additional lives would have been saved? None. Your proposed House File 50 to make holding a phone in your hand illegal subjects the offender to a $50 fine for the first offense. This is the same fine that a person caught texting and driving today would receive. This is the same fine that a person back in 2015 would have received if they were caught texting and driving. Did that threat of a $50 fine cause drivers in 2015 to stop texting and driving? No.
Final words, please, Mr. Collier.
Pardon?
Could you please give us your final words?
The only thing that this bill will do to result is result in thousands of drivers being ticketed for performing an action that, per statistics, has shown to not be a major cause in distracted driving deaths. Not even 3% of the 2015 deaths. This bill will only result in the issuance of thousands of tickets, collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars, creating a new revenue stream for the counties, states, and legal profession. I understand there are other bills that have been introduced this session which appropriately increase penalties associated with texting and driving, the real and true cause of Minnesota distracted driving deaths. I would be in support of making the penalties associated with these true causes harsher so as to appropriately punish those individuals who choose to become a hazard behind the wheel, and hope that you will all too.
Thank you, Mr. Colliers. I appreciate that. Thank you for wrapping up. I very much appreciate it. All right. As I understand as well, we have an amendment labeled A1.
I think there's someone that guaranteed me he would speak for 10 seconds. So,
okay.
He wants to.
Please state your name. And
Vice Chair, thank you very much for this time. I just want to call the attention that the local market, Chair 11 Morning News, has done a good job on distracted driving and not using cell phones. Alicia Lewis has had a big promotion whereby they had 10 commercials. They picked the number one to run on their air, and I think they've got a good start. But it's up to all of us as Minnesotans to take responsibility, and you as our representatives to vote for the hands-free cell phones. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, now I believe we have an Amendment A1. Who is offering that amendment?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think I'm going to offer the amendment as written, but I spoke to the author of the bill prior to the hearing, and there is an oral amendment I would like to make, and if that is permitted, Mr. Chair.
Please do.
This is really to try and make the language of the bill a little clearer, and it's a fairly simple amendment. I will read it to you. I move to amend House File Number 50 as amended by the DE amendment to HO 50 DE1 as follows. On page 2 after line 9, insert item E. For purposes of subdivision 2, paragraph A, using includes but is not limited to holding a wireless communications device.
Representative Hortensey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Representative Focus and I had a chance to talk about this. I consider this a friendly amendment, and I would urge the committee's support.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Could you please repeat the amendment, Representative Torkelson?
Again, I won't go through the first part, but it adds a section E in that part of the bill. For purposes of subdivision 2, paragraph A, in quotes, using, unquote, includes but is not limited to holding a wireless communications device.
So this is lines 13 and 14 that are in the Amendment A1 to be added to
correct,
the D.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, that was my question. Is that the same language in line E1? But yes, thank you.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Quick question just for House Counsel. Does this prohibit using cell phones as GPS devices then if it's only being used as a GPS device?
Mr. Chair, Representative Joachim, this would, the DE as adopted prohibits use of a cell phone as a GPS device handheld and has an exception that's for hands-free, as we've been discussing, for a variety of uses subject to that one-touch functionality requirement.
Mr. Chair, follow-up?
Representative Joachim.
So just wanted to make sure that doesn't change that underlying substance, though. This oral amendment does not change that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Joachim, the oral amendment would expand what constitutes using so that just holding a device in your hand would also be prohibited. But it doesn't have a change. It doesn't make a change regarding GPS devices.
Thank
or GPS
for,
use.
Thank you for that clarification.
Any further questions on the oral amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Passes unanimously. Now, Chair Hornstein, do you have any other comments or any further discussion?
Well, I would urge passage, but I know that Representative Kosnick had some questions. I'm happy to answer those or have a witness answer those as well. So before we vote, I wanted to make sure that you're questions.
Representative Costa.
Mr. Vice Chair, thank you. And I appreciate it. I just feel a little bit that we should have a little more broader discussion rather than, you know, the 6 minutes or three minutes before we talk about this is more broadly. But I do have some questions, and I guess we'll attempt to, you know, wanted to know kind of a little bit what the path of this bill is, where you see it going as chair of the committee. Is it we're going straight to the floor? What other opportunities are there to get clarification on this, to share with our caucus and other members and the public the implications of this bill?
Mr. Chair and Representative Kosnick, I do appreciate that question, and this is going back to Ways and Means where it originated, and a determination there will be made if it needs to go to any further committees. But I'm very open to, you know, discussing that. There will be a period of time, obviously, between when this is heard again, and I'm very open to having conversations with you. It certainly, it's my preference that any amendments or any changes happen before we get to the floor. So there will be at least one more committee stop.
Representative Torkelson. Did you have another one?
Well, Mr. Vice Chair, I did. You know, I know that there's some members that have some concerns in terms of the data privacy within their devices, and that I don't know if you would, what your thoughts are, if this should go to civil law and to take a look at some of those issues or not. But I had a couple other questions. I've
heard those concerns. I want to continue. Mr. Chair and Representative Kosick, I've heard some of those concerns. I'm interested in continuing that conversation. This bill has never been heard in civil law. That wasn't the path last year. So I think any specific concerns, please bring to my attention, and we can address those.
Thank you. Representative Torkelson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hornstein, do you intend to suggest that this bill go to public safety?
Representative Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, you know, it has in the past, and the public safety chair has not requested it. I want to get further clarity from House counsel whether indeed that is necessary. I know that it has in the past.
Well, thank you, Mr. Representative Hornstein and Mr. Chair. If I may, be my suggestion that it do go to public safety. It does not expand the penalties, but it does expand those activities that are subject to the penalties, and I think it would be appropriate for public safety to have a chance to look at this bill. And then just one more question, Representative Hornstein. There is a fiscal note. We haven't had a chance to discuss it. I'm a little concerned about that.
Chair Hornstein.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, The fiscal note is actually for, in the past, last year, I believe it was approximately $200,000 net increase for the state. That's my understanding. Maybe Mr. Lee could comment on that. But that note is not has been requested, but is not before us. Mr. Lee, if Mr. Lee could respond.
Mr. Lee. Mr. Chair, and Representative Hornstein, Representative Torkelson, yes, the fiscal note was requested last Monday. Unfortunately, as of this time, the agencies haven't finished the note to MMB, and they haven't processed it. But in the previous similar bills, the fiscal notes have typically shown a small amount of increased fee revenue to the general fund and other revenue or other sources that receive money from driver citations.
Representative Koznick.
Mr. Vice Chair, Chair Hornstein, do you feel that we've had adequate? I guess I have a few more questions. I don't know, we're out of time here. I guess if we could wrap it up in the next meeting and pass it forward, if that's appropriate or not. But I guess just to pass it out today at, minute past time is a little difficult.
Mr. Chair and Representative Koznick, if people can stay a couple more minutes, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Representative Koznick.
But, we did set aside this entire hearing time for testimony and for member questions. So, I'm happy, again, to stay a couple more minutes to hear your questions. But I think I feel that we've had a good airing of this bill. We've had amendments posted, and we've had an opportunity to ask questions. So, if you have one more question, I'm happy to answer it.
Representative Cousin.
Well, I appreciate the committee's additional time. I guess I had a couple questions on clarification on whether, a lot of people listen to podcasts on their drive time to work. The way I kind of read it, unless could get clarification, I think that would be determined not permitted anymore. And so if you're driving to work and you have your favorite podcast, I guess it looks to me like that would be a potential violation. I'm also concerned or just looking for clarification. A lot of times I have a 10-year-old daughter. When they get home from school, they call me, let me know that they came home, got off the bus safely. They don't have cell phones, but they do have iPads that they are only able to choose to use the FaceTime applications. And so is that now I'm not able to take a mom or dad won't be able to take their kid's call. So I think that's something that maybe we could clarify.
Okay, let's take those one at a time there.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'll have Mr. Austin quickly answer those questions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Koznick, listening to a podcast hands-free is allowed. This does not prohibit the use of stored information on the phone, even other forms of information that come into that phone, as long as you're accessing it in the hands-free or one-touch activation as defined in the bill itself. What it does prohibit is live streaming, for example, so it would not allow me to run a video of myself driving my car, sending it out to my friends on Facebook or some other venue. The interesting question on video calling via FaceTime, that can run audio only, so it would be incumbent upon the driver of the vehicle to take the audio side of that call and not engage in a video chat in that sense.
Thank you, Mr. Austin. Any last questions, Mr. Koznick?
I guess my opinion would be that it would cause more damage or more distraction for me to reject my child's call, have them try to send me a message back, and then tell them just to use audio call. But we can train them. That's good. I appreciate the clarification. And certainly I just think it's important to have clarification on some of these issues before we move on. My other question was, if somebody does ends up being an accident or something, if you look on your phones right now and see what apps are running in the background, currently, I just looked at mine. I was listening to some music last night when I was doing some work, and I realized it's still running in the background of my phone. How is the law enforcement going to determine that, and how will that be determined? Will I be in violation, or will other people be in violation if they have Snapchat Austin running on the background, but they're not using it, and they get an accident? I think those are important things to take a look at.
Mr. Austin.
Mr. Chair, Representative Koznick, as the Colonel described earlier, the forensic challenger on the phone is not changed by this bill, and that is a device-specific kind of forensics. And, again, this is aimed at the prevention side of this behavior, not at the after-accident side directly. So there is an interesting conversation around data, But there is also an exclusion in this bill specifically for information that your phone transmits inactively, if you want to think about it that way, to try to address both the communication between the phone and the vehicle, and then the vehicle automatically to the rest of the planet, and your phone automatically to the rest of the planet, to try to address some of those concerns that are very, very difficult to define without an extraordinarily complicated and technical set of language.
Thank you very much, everyone, for your time. I'm sorry we're running just a little bit late. We have one last quick question from Representative O'Driscoll.
It's a two-part question. First, kind of a comment.
A quick two-part question.
And I want to thank Representative Kosnick for bringing his questions forward. What we do in this facility and in this institution is we pass laws, and legislative intent is extremely important. And it's unfortunate that we don't have time to help set the track record for legislative intent in this committee as to what this bill will do. And so I want to thank Representative Kosnick again for pursuing that line of questioning. Secondly, to the bill author and the chair of the committee, there is a fiscal note, and this is a policy and fiscal committee. How many times are we going to pass on hearing fiscal notes going forward on different kinds of things? This is the very first bill that has a very first fiscal note attached to it. We seem to have a need to pass it out of committee right away today when we don't know for sure what's going to happen. And your own words, Mr. Chair, was we've got some time before it's going to be heard in another committee. Just wondering if we can't help with that legislative intent to maybe take a peek at that fiscal note, since work should be done in committees.
Joe Ornstein.
Mr. Chair and Representative Driscoll, I understand your concern. I think this is a net gain for the state, and so I don't see this as a particularly controversial fiscal note. It's going to a fiscal committee, Ways and Means, and so we have a lot of business before our committee coming up, and so I think there's a real interest in moving this bill along, and there will certainly be an opportunity to discuss the fiscal note in the Ways and Means Committee.
Chair Ornstein, do you have any final comments?
Members, I want to thank all of you for your attentiveness. I want to thank the public. I especially want to thank the families. You have been the bedrock of support for this bill. I think that your sharing your stories is powerful. It's meaningful. And members, if we just save one life through passage of this bill, that we will have done our jobs. But the data shows we'll be saving many more than just simply one life. So with that, members, I ask for your support. I appreciate the questions, and I would renew my motion that House File 50 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
House File 50 as amended.
As amended, correct.
Correct. So with that, we renew the motion House File 50 as amended be recommended to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, everyone. We have a meeting on Thursday at 12:45, January 24th, and we are adjourned.